Blog Talk Radio.
Delighted to be with you with another broadcast with Kingdom Builders International, where God is getting all of the glory. Where thou kingdom come, you can come just as you are. We want you to be blessed with the music. We have an exciting broadcast for you tonight. Our own Apostle Leonard Emmons will be bringing the word on tonight. We want you to be blessed with the music and get into your praise mode. For there is nobody greater than our Father. And I'll be right back.
Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than you. Nobody can heal like you can. Oh, most holy one, you are the great I am. Awesome in all your ways, and mighty is your hand. You are he who carried out redemption's plan. You are he who carried out redemption's plan.
Searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody great. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Search all over.
Search all over.
Couldn't find no.
Couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low. Still couldn't find nobody.
Nobody great. Nobody great.
Nobody.
Come on, let's go dance for real in here. Come on. Nobody greater. Nobody greater, Jesus.
Nobody greater than you.
Nobody greater. Nobody greater. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
Lift those hands, singers, and let's just give them the glory. Nobody greater.
Nobody greater.
Couldn't find nobody.
Nobody greater.
Nobody greater than you.
There's nobody greater than our King Jesus. There's nobody greater. We thank our listening audience for tuning in to another broadcast of Kingdom Builders International. We are broadcasting live. This is an international broadcast. You can just call in at 661-449-9911, or you can listen online. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Kingdom Builders International. You can call in on Skype if you like. Call in to Kingdom Builders. This is Prophetess Teresa Docks, and I am in the city of Gary, Indiana, and I am excited once again to be with you to bring forth and lift up the name of Jesus. There's nobody greater than our Lord Jesus. Nobody's greater than him. So we want you to get into your prayer mode, get into your listening mode, so that your spirit can receive what God is saying to the church. Only those that have ears can hear. So we're going to open up the lines at the end of the broadcast, and we just pray that those that are on the line, that you are prepared to receive from on high. We welcome you to be part of our family and to join our praying family. Join in with us on the internet broadcast. Again, I'm going to lift the lines up with a word of prayer, and then the next voice that you would hear is our own pastor, Apostle Leonard Emmons of the Living Way Christian Center, 235 West 40th in Gary, in the city of Gary, Indiana. Father, we thank you. We thank you once again for the miracles, the signs, and the wonders that you are always doing, Lord God, through your people. Father, we just glory in you. We ask you, Lord God, to let the word of God go out unchecked, unhindered by any outside force. Father, we just believe, Lord God, that you're with us, and we know, Lord God, that you are leading, guiding, and direct us. Father, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus that you would cover those that are on the line. Cover our apostle, Leonard Emmons, Father, as he go forth. Father, cover with the blood of Jesus. And we thank you that our ears are open. We thank you that our hearts are open to receive what you have for the body of Christ. In Jesus' holy name, I pray and I say thank you. Amen. And glory to your marvelous name. Amen. Well, Apostle Emmons, God bless you.
Hello.
Amen. God bless you, Apostle.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good
what
evening.
About yourself?
All right. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. God bless you, a woman of God. God bless you, prophetess. God bless your husband, Quentin. God bless all of the Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Builders International. Praise God for the work that you all are doing. Praise God for next week, the conference that's set. And we are continue to be praying that the Lord would not only have his way, but will bring revolutionary transformation for those that will be attending and participating in the conference. We're so grateful this evening for the grace that God has allotted Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters, and again, we just pray that you all will continue to do those things that God has laid upon your heart. It's indeed a blessing again to be with you this evening and to be a part of this work of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'd like to, again, just to touch and agree with the prayers that have already gone forth. And we're just trusting God tonight that the Lord would help us to communicate what we believe our discussion this evening, our discussion should center around. There's so many, of course, things going on all over the place. The unbelievable tragedy yesterday in New York, in the Boston area, with the marathon, that is just it's extremely heartbreaking and extremely troubling of spirit. But I think that we need to do what we can to pray for those families that whose loved ones unfortunately died yesterday, and of course the multitude of those that were injured. And I realize some might, you know, again be distant from that type of tragedy, but you know, when we really look at it, it's a part of us. That's a part of mankind. And I think as believers, we really need to allow our hearts to to be sensitive. And this evening we want to talk about repentance and having a contriteness, repentance and walking in a contriteness. I think that it's very easy to be so focused on our world that we can miss out on what God is saying, and also with what God's heart is, especially when we start to look at so many different things that, you know, that we focus on in our own lives, in our own world. Father, we thank you tonight for your heart. And Father, we afresh, we touch and agree with those that are part of this Blog Talk Radio broadcast. Lord, it is very easy to distance ourselves even from your world. Jesus, when you came to the world, you noted that you loved the world. Even the Spirit of God moved upon the Apostle John and John 3:16. You don't hate the world. You created the world. And everything is being upheld by you, even now. And the tragedies that many times we are miles apart, many times we are not even aware, we are oblivious to some of the things that are going on. It is a part of the world, Jesus, that you poured out your blood for. And yet, Lord, it's very easy for us to distance ourselves and to be independent of others' sufferings and tragedy. Tonight, Lord, we need you to help remind us that we are in the world to bring it flavor, the kind of flavor that you desire. We're in the world to be reflective of your light, your illumination, your love, your mercy. And yet, I know, Father, that for some of us, not all of us, but for some of us, under the sound of my voice, we have not given in. We have not yielded ourselves to your spirit. We're hard-hearted. And we need the hard, rigid soil of our hearts to be broken. And so tonight, Holy Spirit, I pray right now, Lord, that you, Lord, would release your spirit upon the hearts and the minds, the souls of those under the sound of my voice, and that you would help us tonight to be fully drenched and overwhelmed by your heart. Grip our hearts again. Break our hearts. Break up the fallow ground, we pray, in Jesus' name. We're so blessed this evening, my brother, my sister. I trust that, and I'm going to share this again. Last month, we noted in the month of March, we decreed and declared that the month of March is a month of miracles, a month of the supernatural. And I pray that those of you under the sound of my voice, that you heard God's voice, even God's word, even as I shared those things. And this month we have tagged this month, and, you know, we have less than 2 weeks to go. We have tagged this month as a month, again, of miracles, as well as a month of breakthrough and birthing. And we shared this 2 weeks ago when I was on the Blog Talk. We shared with you that this is the month of April, a month of miracles, a month of breakthrough, and a month of birthing. And for some of us, as we noted last time, that it appears that we've lost our strength. And that's a good thing, because we need to be fully immersed in the strength of God. You know, it's not by our might, it's not by our power, but it's by the Spirit of God. It's by the Holy Spirit's power. And tonight, we'd like you to turn in your Bibles over to the book of Revelations. The book of Revelations, the third chapter. And in the book of Revelations, the third chapter, we want to note a couple of scriptures here. We want to look at the admonition and the positive and the instruction that the Lord gave to these churches here in the book of Revelations, the third chapter. And we're not going to go, we are going to go from, you know, we're going to pull out a couple of phrases that are mentioned here. In the third chapter, even as the Lord Jesus was speaking and noting some various things to the church at Sardis in verse 1, okay, there's some, again, commendations. Look at verse 2, though. It says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die for. I have not found thy works perfect before God. Verse 3, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come to thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Now, I'd like for us to continue looking in this third chapter, and I want you to note what it also reveals here in verse 18, as he's further talking to the church at Laodicea. In this church at Laodicea, praise God, look at verse 18. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And we see this expression again. And I know those of you under the sound of my voice, repentance in itself is not a foreign word to you. But I want to encourage you, challenge you, so that we would really recognize a theme that I believe that the Spirit of God has in the earth for us. I mean, yes, of course, we are believing God for miracles, breakthrough. We're believing God for birthing fresh new things. And some of you, praise God, you know, I haven't heard your testimonies, but I know God is moving miraculously. I've seen some things and experienced some things myself in the last year and a half, I mean, month and a half, excuse me, or so. And also there are testimonies that I've heard of others. I've seen some manifestations of the breakthrough. And we know that God, out of his mercy and love, and there is a central theme and a pattern and a plan that our God has right now operating in the earth. However, there's a great need for us to not be so pious in seeing God move and being a custodian and a possessor of the miraculous, the Lord of the breakthrough moving, the supernatural. I think it can be very easy for us to become hard-hearted after God moves or as God is moving. We need to keep tender hearts. We need to do what we can to be open to the heart of God. And I think it's very important, even as God moves, that we would, again, still be representative of the heart of God. And believe it or not, it's important for all of us to be open to the move of God. I need you to turn over to the book of Genesis. Now, you know, some of you have heard it suggested, this law first mentioned, okay? And you know, we don't see this in the Bible. This is something that is theologically, you know, suggested, the law first mentioned. Because what we're about to read is the first time that this is mentioned. So, you know, in the Bible, but we don't want to get all bent out of shape and upset about this and emotional and dogmatic about this, because if we really look at things, you know, of course, the oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job. It's the oldest book. Now, most of us, again, we know, of course, the first book that's, you know, set, unless it's a chronological Bible or unless it's a Bible that is looking to distinguish those things. But in the Bibles that most of us read out of, the book of Genesis has the first mention of this word repent. Let's look at verse 5. It says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." This is the first time the word repent is mentioned in the Bible. Now, and it says here that God is the first one that repented. I mean, according to the word of God, the first time the word repent is mentioned, God is the one that did the repenting. And mind you, and for some of you, you know, of course, you've read this, and I don't know if you've taken note of it, but it bears repeating. God is the first one that repented of something that he did. Now, this word repent is significant this evening in our short discussion, and the etymology of this word, the truth behind this word, I mean, its origin in Strong's, it tells us this word, nalkam, is a primary root word, and it means to sigh. God sighed. It means to breathe strongly. By implication, it means to be sorry. It means to comfort oneself and to ease oneself. God was sorry that he had made man, and man had given himself away to the point that man's imagination was evil continually. And because of man's imagination being that way, it caused man's heart to be hard, very rigid, and unfortunately, non-pliable. It was not tender. man's heart was not tender anymore. And most of us, of course, we generally think that, yeah, well, of course, you know, these were all unbelievers. And but I want you to note something, and I need you to turn over to the book of Jonah. I want you to take note of something. It's very easy for us to be, quote unquote, religiously prideful and to have a spirit of elitism to the point that, you know, we separate ourselves from, again, the things that are going on in our world. It's very easy to just segregate ourselves away from what's happening elsewhere. And, you know, we're in the world for a reason. And it's very easy to separate ourselves to the point that we don't even potentially care about others as believers. And I realize that some of you, that you might even be asking, what are you talking about? It's very easy for us to, again, separate ourselves and to be uncaring, unfeeling, even about the loss, even about even another brother or sister who is struggling and who may or may not be a part of your team, and if they are against you as believers. And it's very easy to, and all of you, you understand, let's face it, we're not all completely on the same page with every believer. Some of us even are part of different fellowships, ministries, groups, congregations, and some of us are challenged even by dear brethren in the congregation for various reasons. And it's unfortunate that many of these folk, again, they may even feel the same way about you. And generally, I've seen over the years that many believers, they go to the same meeting house, they're part of the same congregation church, if you will. And yet they harbor unforgiveness, bitterness, strife, jealousy, and envy, all kinds of really base, wicked, evil things. And of course, we all are going to heaven anyhow. Jonah, I mean, look at the book of Jonah. Look at this prophetic book. In Jonah, the first chapter, verse 1, it says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." Now, there's some of you out there, you probably got your cheerleading outfit on, and you probably saying, go get them, God, go get them. Get them, God, get them, God. I don't know if you really know the heart of God. I don't know if you really understand that Jesus came to the earth and he died for everybody. Now, it's up to everybody, of course, to accept him as King and Lord, but Jesus has done the work that everybody would be saved. I mean, John 3:16 tells us that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have possessed everlasting life. Please remember this, and I believe this is the heart of God in 2 Peter, the third chapter, verse 9. I'm reading from the King James Version. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. I don't know, did we forget that? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Even though I'm targeting us tonight, the righteous, those that are under the sound of my voice and you're on your way to heaven anyhow, I think we need to go back to the old landmark and take another look. Maybe we need to take another dip. Maybe we need to be aware and reminded that the heart of God is that everyone would come to repentance. I read from the Amplified Version, again, the same ninth verse. It says, the Lord does not delay and is not tardy or slow about what he promises according to some people's conception of slowness, but he is long-suffering, extraordinarily patient toward you. Remember now, Peter was writing this under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the general family of God. This is a general epistle. Not desiring that any should perish, but that all should turn to repentance. It's God's desire that everyone would turn to repentance. Remember, this epistle was written to believers, not unbelievers. We need to maintain soft hearts. We're going to get to that in a minute. In Jonah, the first chapter, it tells us that the word of the Lord came to this prophet. We praise God for the prophetic movement in the earth. We praise God for the apostolic movement in the earth, for the evangelistical movement, the teaching movement, the pastoral movement, the praise movement, the worship movement, the intercession movement. We praise God for these moves of the Holy Spirit in the earth. Hear this prophet of God. He heard God clearly. It's amazing that many folk that are part of fellowships, churches, ministries, congregations, we're on our way to heaven anyhow. And we hear the word of God, some of us, two or three times a week, depending upon when our quote-unquote church doors open. And some of us, you know, God is using mightily. He's revealed himself. Jonah was no exception. He heard the voice of God. God told him, gave him a directive and told him what to do. But what did Jonah do? Jonah is a contemporary of us because of what was in his heart. And God knew what was in his heart. God knows what's in our heart. And yet, he still uses us. I mean, God told him what to do here. If you just turn over, and because of Jonah's rebellion and resistance, God fixed it. Some of y'all out there right now, as you're listening to me, God has prepared your situation as a great fish. You're in a place that you can't get out of. And you need to get out of the mouth of this thing. Now, I have, by the Spirit of God, decreed and declared that this is a month of miracles. This is a month of breakthrough. This is the month of birthing. And for some of you, the way you're going to experience that, and you got less than 2 weeks for this month, is it's time for you to repent. Your religious, spiritual pride has to be dealt with. God wants you to be the Jonah that he's called you to be. Not the Jonah that's rebellious, but the Jonah that's obedient and the Jonah that has the heart of God. Look what it says here. Because of his rebellion and resistance, he ended up being thrown overboard at sea and being swallowed by this unbelievable fish. Some of you have been thrown overboard, even by family members, church members, and others, and you've been wrestling in the very bowels of this thing that God caused to come to your rescue so that you didn't drown. Why? Because God's not through with you yet. But look what it says here. After, you know, Jonah prayed in verse 1 of the second chapter, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Now, mind you, this was a level of repentance that Jonah had yielded to. Well, I guess when you see that, you know, you can't get out of a situation, and for some of us, that's what we've been doing. There's been a level of repentance. And for some of us, you know, this is the way we roll. This is the way we operate. But God is demanding and requiring more. But even after he experienced this and after God allowed him to be released, look at the first verse of the third chapter. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Well, for some of you under the sound of my voice, I'm speaking by the Spirit of God, and this is the second time you're hearing God say and direct and instruct you as to what you need to do. But some of you, God has made it very clear as to what you're called to do, what you've directed to do, and what God would have you to do. And yet, because of the rebellion, the fear, the unbelief, the doubt, or just you don't really want to be the servant that God has called you to be, and so you've resisted. But tonight, this word is bringing a hammer upon that resistance. And God is speaking to you the second time. And the Bible tells us here in the second verse, the third chapter, arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. See, God has a word that's in your mouth, my brother, that's in your mouth, my sister, that needs to be released according to what God has shown you, according to what God has made known to you. And this is the time. Why? Because there are many thousands that need to hear the word that God has placed in your belly, regardless of who they might be. Now, and here's one of the problems for Jonah. These were Israel's enemies, the Ninevites. These were folk that were sworn enemies of Israel. There was a loathing inside of Jonah that God knew. God knows your heart, my brother. He knows your heart, my sister. He's fully aware of your biases, your prejudice. You're being a racist at heart. For some of you, how dare you go and preach the word of God to somebody white? For some of you, how dare you go to preach to somebody black, somebody Hispanic, someone of Oriental backgrounds. You know, how dare, you know, you of all people, God wants you to go and minister to those who are not according to your class. They don't dress like you. They don't talk like you. How dare you lower yourself and you be God's agent with your prideful, arrogant self? Jonah was prideful, arrogant. He did not want his enemies to repent. And yet God told him what to do. As we move on in this account, when he finally went, and mind you, for some of you, as you go and do the will of God, some of you are going to look awfully fascinating. When Jonah finally went and walked through Nineveh, it took him 3 days to do it. And what, he was a preaching machine. He was bearing witness, unloading everything that the Holy Ghost, that God had given him. Now, mind you, he was a sight to behold. The Bible doesn't say that once he got out of the mouth of this fish that he went and took a bath or he went and cleaned himself up. No, he didn't, because he was really motivated. And I believe that part of his skin was bleached because of the acidity that was in the bowels of this fish. I believe he had all kinds of different seaweed and all kinds of stuff on him. His clothes looked a mess. He smelled horrible, but he was preaching. He was a preaching machine. Why? Because he was motivated and moved because of the judgment of God upon his life. And when he did preach, guess what happened? The power of God failed. My brother, my sister, as you're willing to submit to the spirit of repentance as you hear this message, I want you to understand the anointing, the glory of God, the power of God that's inside of you. As you go and do the will of God, as you go bear witness and you tell others about Jesus in the strength of the Holy Ghost, the power of God is going to fall. The glory of God is going to fall. The yoke-destroying, burden-lifting power of God is going to fall. The breaker is going to be released. Jesus of Nazareth is going to be manifested. The kingdom of God is going to expand. It's going to bring forth miracles, breakthroughs, and birthing. We see here that Jonah, because of his unique biases, hatred for the Ninevites, you know, God went on and showed him his heart. For some of you tonight, as you listen to this, God is showing you your heart. And I want you to understand that type of place of being spiritually biased, spiritually elite in the way that is not of God. It's time for us to do some sighing. We're almost done. I want you to turn over to, remember now, the word repent is first mentioned in the Bible as something that God did. Now, and think about this. For those of you that claim to be like God, those of you that claim to be God's child, I mean, God is the first one that demonstrated this attribute. And yet you're telling me you won't repent? How dare you suggest it that you're like our God? And he's the first one noted in the Bible that repented. You said you were like God. So why is repentance such a foreign word or such a foreign thing to you? Could it be that it's representative that maybe that hard, austere, rigid position that you've taken, maybe it's not God after all? Maybe it's something else? Look over here in Psalms. I want you to, we need to hurry along. My time is just about gone. In Psalms 34, we're almost done. These are some benefits that are part of our, some of us may even confess it. Verse 14, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears upon are open unto their cry. So God is waiting for our cry, our sigh. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. That's what we're talking about, deliverance from all of our troubles. Look at verse 18. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save as such as be of a contrite spirit. Contrite spirit. My, my, my. What in the world? A contrite spirit. Turn over here to also Psalms 57. We're almost done. And then we're going to pray. Psalms 57. verse 15. Excuse me. Psalms 51. My apology. Psalms 51. It's a favorite many. It says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You know, being haughty, spiritually haughty, is not a good thing. I don't care what your perception and idealism behind that. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Is that something that is common with you, my brother, common with you, my sister? One thing that I am fully aware of, and I trust that you are too, we all ought to live repentant lives. It should not be a foreign thing for us to repent daily, throughout the day. Now, you can try to suggest that that's not necessary or needful, and I would beg to differ with you. No, we are to live repentant lives. It's needful and necessary. It says, against thee, thee only, have I sinned. This is David, of course, after he was made aware by the prophet of God that God saw what he did and that the man of God, the prophet Nathan, made him aware. And David did the right thing. David wrote these words inspired by the Holy Spirit. He acknowledged his sin. What about you, my brother? What about you, my sister? He said, against thee only have I sinned. See, any sin we make, first of all, you can't sin for somebody else. Every sin we do is individualized. It's ours. And every sin is selfish. It's for our supposed benefit under the direction of a deranged enemy of God. And against thee, see, every sin is against God. And done this evil again in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Look at verse 6. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part that thou make me to know wisdom. God demands and desires truth throughout our entire being. If we are like God, if we're God's children, remember now, God is the first one in Scripture that we see that repents. Aren't we to be like God? Here it says that God desires truth in the inward part. Look at verse 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And some of you have been challenged with distress. You've even been upset. And yet, you know, you just said that's the devil. It might be you, my brother. It might be you, my sister. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall sing, show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice. Some of you, you say, well, you know, I can solve this problem by just giving, you know, hundreds and thousands of dollars to the work of the ministry. Oh, that'll cover everything. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou would not despise. So what God is looking for is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. This is what God is looking for, y'all, in these days. And we might suggest that, well, you know, I'm doing the best I can. Well, you know, our best is far below what God wants. There is a brokenness that God is demanding of everyone in the body of Christ. That word contrite means to crumble, to bruise. It means to beat to pieces. Break in pieces. It means to crush, to destroy, or to humble. It means to oppress or smite. You know, the Bible says that we're to humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God. This is the time of great humility, y'all. The grace that we know we need to see in the earth. If we're going to walk in the fog, the F-O-G, the favor of God, we need to maintain a spirit of humility, which demands that we function and operate in a brokenness. Now, mind you, we can't manufacture this. The brokenness cannot be something that we in our own strength, in our own wisdom, manufactured. This has to be a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Repentance has to be a fruit of the Holy Spirit. The spirit of repentance has to deal with us. I think for many of us in the body of Christ, we've self-engineered so much. And then we've gone through the motions so much of the time that we've self-deceived our own selves. We've yielded to a false humility, a false sense of repentance, a false sense of you know, I'm doing this. We need a fresh move of God in the earth. We need a fresh move of the spirit of repentance in the earth. We need a fresh revelation, a new encounter in the earth. In closing, we need true repentance. We need to be beholders of godly sorrow. That's what repentance means. It means to be godly sorry about our own actions, about our own thoughts, about our own feelings, about our own stuff. It needs to be something that God himself puts upon us. As I close this evening, we were in a conference on the weekend, and as the Spirit of God moved upon one individual, I mean, this man was touched by the hand of God. And as God imparted his heart upon this man, and this man started to experience a supernatural manifestation, the Holy Ghost was upon him. And he started to feel, he started to see distressing humans without God. And he started to hear them cry out for God in their desperation. He started to feel their loneliness, their desperate separation from God and their tragedy. And he started to to really feel what God feels about humanity and about mankind. And as we were watching this, and the man grabbed his head and he turned red and he started to unruffle his hair, you know, and started to just, you could tell that it was a supernatural experience, and he was feeling this unbelievable discomfort and distress, and it stayed on him for minutes, and everyone in the conference could feel his distress and feel really the heart of God. You know, Jonah, he did follow, he did obey God, and he did go and preach, but God still needed to touch his heart. How many of us are like Jonah? How many of us, we really don't, we got the mind of God, but we don't really have the heart of God. Yeah, we say the right things, and we govern ourselves, and because, you know, it's a self-movement. It's not the Holy Ghost ain't really with it. Yeah, we're walking in the letter of the law, letter of the word, but it's not the spirit. And yet God wants to bring us into a place of a partnership where we not only are walking in the Logos, but we're walking in the Rhema. We're walking in the spirit. Jesus said that the words that I speak our spirit and their life. We need to walk in the spirit life, the spiritual life that Jesus walked in. We need true repentance. We need to have contrite hearts, a brokenness, where God has dealt with us, where we've been touched by the hand of God, where God has brought us into a place of true humility, of true brokenness, so that we can communicate not only the word of God and what God is saying, but also God's heart, his compassion, his love, his mercy, his kindness. We need to be able to be transparent to the point where folk would recognize that not only we're saying the right things, but we are initiating and we're demonstrating and we're releasing the very heart of God, the love of God. We need the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, the spirit of repentance. Remember now, it's God's desire that everyone would repent. You might say, well, I'm already on my way to heaven. Well, I repented one time, man. How do you think I got saved? Well, I don't know if you're aware of it, my brother, but it's God's desire, even in the book of Revelations, as he spoke to those churches, he demanded that they all repent. There was something that all of them needed to repent of. I could care less how much of the commendation that he had. But he said, but I got this issue, and that issue, even the church at Philippi. The church of Philadelphia. It's God's desire that we all would repent and that we would yield to God and that we would give him what he requires. And he looks for that contriteness, that brokenness. That is a precious commodity for God. That's what he's looking for. For those of you that, I got the right sacrifice, it's just money. No, he's looking for your heart. You know, you might be saying, I just want what God in God's hand. That's what I want. Lord, just move. You know, touch me with your hand. How about you allow him to touch you with his heart? Don't you want God's heart too? Yeah, I know he got some goodies, some Happy Meals in his hand. But what about his heart? Isn't it supposed to be a marriage, a covenant? You know, doesn't God have the right to confer and impart to you his heart? That's what he demands of us. That's what he needs. We need to be able to communicate his heart. Let us pray. Father, Lord, we touch and agree with everyone under the sound of my voice. First of all, we pray for the families across this country that have been challenged by tragedy. We know the bombing there at the Boston Marathon. We know the tragedy associated with that. Many families across this country are grieving because of that. But there are other things going on besides that, and we're not minimizing that, Lord. But we know that there are other tragic things that are going on across the planet. In nations where the news has not even voiced abroad tragic things. Lord, we tonight, we repent of our hard-heartedness. We repent of our unbrokenness and our unyieldedness. We repent of our rebellion like Jonah. We repent of our biases, our prejudice, our religious pride. We repent, oh God, of our elitism and us feeling better than everybody else and looking at ourselves as though we have no issues. And yet you have commanded everyone to repent. Lord, tonight we confess our sins, the sin that so easily beset us, the things that you're working with us now to dethrone in our own lives. We repent of the pride and the arrogance, the self-centeredness, and the independence. We repent of having established our own concepts and ideologies apart from you, Lord. We repent of feeling that we have, through our education and because of the money we have in the bank and because of the job and the position that we have where we are lauded in our communities, we repent, oh God, of these seemingly self-appointed positions and of power and authority. But it's been by your mercy, it's been by your grace, oh God. Lord, repent of these sins. We repent of anything that's misrepresenting you, Jesus, that does not convey your heart, your thoughts, your mind, your actions, oh God. Father, we ask, oh God, this evening that you would forgive us, that you would cleanse us, that you would wash us in your blood, that you would purge us tonight. Lord, with hyssop, Lord, take the hyssop and, Lord, go into the deep places, the dark places that we've closed off from others, and we've made sure that they would not see the blackness of our hearts, even as Jonah. Oh God, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Lord, I ask that you would cleanse us, wash us, purge us in your blood. Father, cause the spirit of repentance to fall upon us. Lord, cause the fresh heat and the hotness of your heart and your tears to become ours, oh God. Lord, cause us to hate what you hate and to love what you love, oh God. Help us, God, to be fully integrated in you and you and us again. Meet us, oh God, with your mercy and grace and wash us and purge us tonight. Help us, God, that we, Lord God, will be changed by your Spirit. Lord God, move upon us tonight. Bring us to that place, oh God, where we lay down our sin. Lord, cause our hearts to be tenderized by your presence. Father, I pray that the power of the Holy Spirit would fall upon those under the sound of my voice, and that you would break every yoke of hard-heartedness, break every yoke, destroy the yokes of bitterness, destroy the yokes of pride and arrogance, destroy the yokes of hatred and malice, destroy the yokes of bitterness, O God, destroy the yokes of self-centeredness, destroy the yokes of fear, destroy the yokes, O God, of doubt and unbelief, O God, and cause your glory to fall, cause your presence to be released. I trust you and thank you for this now, O God. And Father, we give you glory and praise for moving upon those under the sound of my voice. Spirit of God, be released. Father, I pray, O God, that you would send forth and cause the angels of God to move across this planet, O God. Lord, move upon those under the sound of my voice. Cause angels to fall, Lord God, upon the folk, the people, O God. Cause angels to push back the works of darkness and to dismantle, Lord God, the strongholds. Cause the angels to testify of you, Christ Jesus, and to bear witness of the kingdom of God. I implore them by faith now in Christ Jesus' name. Father, Lord God, cause, Lord, your presence to be released upon those, O God, that under the sound of my voice who have not called upon you as King and Lord and Savior. Father, I right now pray with them. And dear brother, dear sister, if you're under the sound of my voice and you have not acknowledged Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, I want you to repeat after me what it tells us in the Word of God. The Bible says that what you believe in your heart, what you say with your mouth, according to Romans 10, it makes all the difference in the world. Even now, as you've repented of your sins. Father, the Word of God says, and I need for you to repeat after me right now, Heavenly Father, the Word of God says that Jesus became my substitute and he died for my sins. I believe that in my heart. The Bible says that Jesus not only died for my sins on the cross at Calvary, but that, Father, you raised him from the dead on the third day. Father, I believe that. And right now, not only do I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day, I receive Jesus now as my Lord and my Savior. I accept you, Jesus, as my King right now. And Father, the Bible says that if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, that salvation is mine. Right now, I'm saved according to the Bible, and I praise you now in Jesus' name. I'm born again. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen, amen, glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God. What a word, Apostle.
Oh, bless God.
We thank God for you, glory to God. Glory to God. If
you
go to phone lines over the internet, go tell someone to come back on the archives and listen to the powerful message that God spoke today through the apostle of God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I plead the blood of Jesus over the man of God. I bind up any spirits of backlash or retaliation, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God. I thank you for continuing to supply every need for your apostle in the mighty name of Jesus and his family and the ministry in the mighty name of Jesus, God. I pray, Lord God, that you would deposit back into him everything that he poured out tonight over the airways, over the phone lines, in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you that no weapon formed against him, formed against Living Way Christian Center, formed against his family shall prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you for your warring angels warring on his behalf in the mighty name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Glory be to God in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for the man of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Kingdom Builders International really appreciate your apostle. You know, our apostle, come on, every first and third Tuesday at 7 p.m. So make sure you tune in next month. Go tell somebody how God truly uses the man of God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. You're truly worthy of all the glory and honor and praise. Glory be to God. Apostle, do you have any last comments?
Last comments. Again, we want to encourage everyone to be prayerful regarding the conference next week in Detroit. Praise God. Kingdom Builders International, praise God, under the leadership, praise God, of Prophetess Teresa and Quentin Docks, as well as the others that are part of the leadership. We want to encourage folks to continue to be praying for this conference. And we know, Evangelist, you're right in that. You're in the thick of this. And we want to encourage everyone to be praying for the manifestations of the Spirit of God, that lives are transformed, that the kingdom of God is expanded and increased, and that is something that, again, we'll be praying for as we go. Hallelujah.
Oh, and we should thank you, Apostle. You can go on to www.kingdombuilderplaza.org to get information on the conference. Thank you, Jesus. And as Apostle said, yes, continue to pray for us and the teachers and the praise dancers and musicians, everyone that's going to come forth for them 3 days in the Detroit, Michigan area. Glory be to God. And this time we're going to close out. And again, I thank God for everyone that has called in over the phone lines. I thank God for all you internet listeners. We give a shout out to you also. Glory be to God. And until we meet again, over the phone lines and over the internet, Ray, remember, God loves you, and you have a blessed evening and good night, all.
Hallelujah. Bless God.